Good morning. As we go through life, we get busy. We get our focus is on a lot of things. And this one phrase that the Spirit of God gave to me this week was the phrase "one thing," and it's mentioned multiple times in the scriptures. And so I want to us to dwell on there's five "one things" phrases in the Bible, and it talks about focus and stuff like that. So I want us to first start with the first one in John chapter 9. And I won't read the whole chapter, but it's the man who was blind, and I'll read verse 18. We'll start reading from verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? But then does he now see?" And his parents answered them and said, "We know that this is your son, this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. And therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So they said again, called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or I do not know, one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." And they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." And so the first one is we see the man says, "One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." And this knowing here is not knowing by observation. There's two types of knowing in the scriptures. There's one that's knowing by observation, by looking at someone and saying, "Well, I know about this person." And the Pharisees and the people, they thought they knew about Jesus, but this was just an observation of him. And there's a different knowing, which is an experiential knowing, right? After you experience the Lord Jesus Christ, after you experience what he's done for your life, it gives you that certainty of what you have been through, or what he has brought you through. And I think this is something that he had went through. And this is something that we all need to think. It's not just knowing about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, many people know about him. You know, when you talk to people or you see on TV, they're thanking. "I want to thank God. I want to thank the Lord Jesus. They win an award or something like that." They know of him, but they haven't experienced that knowing of him in an experiential way, knowing him as their Lord and Savior. This man had experienced him, and that's why he had no more fear. He had all the certainty. He said, "I don't know, you know, all these things. I don't know anything, but one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." You know what I'm saying? We can't enter into everything the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. We can't experience all the things that he went through in his life. But what we do know is that because of his life that he lived and because of his work on the cross, that we are saved today. And we can't know everything, but we can know that we have experienced that saving grace in our lives. We can be encouraged that we can have a certainty. There's not a lot of certainty in this world, but we can have that certainty that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for us and that we will live eternally because of his finished work on the cross. And so that one thing I know is that certainty that we can have in Christ. And I want to encourage us with these things is that it's not enough just to know about Christ, but have you experienced him in your life? Have you experienced him in an experiential way? And I want to encourage us that we should know him. And that's one thing that we should know. The next one is in Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 17. "And now, as he was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not be a false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him and loved him, and said to him, One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at these words and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. One thing he lacked. And the one thing that he lacked was the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the thing is that people today feel that if you live a good life, if you do everything right, you know, you've kept these commandments, you've done all these things. And this is what this man did. He felt he's done all these things, but it was one thing that he was lacking. And the Lord put a spotlight on it. And sometimes we don't want to go before the Lord because the Lord can expose the things that we are holding or putting before him. And this man, he had everything going for him. Everything that the world wanted. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. And that's what the world wants today. Most people, they want to acquire wealth, right? That's what they work towards. That's what their goal is in their life. They want to work towards wealth. That is what the world is telling you is important. Young, everybody wants to look young. If you look at the stars and everybody, they're trying to use all kinds of different regimens. They spend thousands, millions of dollars trying to look young again. And ruler, most people want to be the top person in charge. They want to be looked at as the person, the leader, the ruler, right? And so he had all these things going for him. And not only that, it says that he kept all these things. He said he kept all these things. I've never committed this. I've never done that. But the thing that was holding was dear to him was the riches and the things that he held dear before the Lord. And the Lord exposed that. And the Lord says, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor. But he was sad because he had those possessions. And so what I'm trying to encourage us today is that everything the world has to offer, it doesn't matter. He was rich, he was young, he was a ruler. He did everything well. He did everything good. He lived a life that most people would say is very nice, right? He's an upstanding citizen. But the one thing that he lacked was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you today, this morning, is that if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you do not have him as the first person in your life, you're lacking one thing. You could have everything. You could have everything going for you. You could have a good life. You can have the house, the car, whatever you have. But if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your main focus, you're lacking one thing. And the Lord exposed it. It says that he went away because he was sorrowful because he had great possessions. The things of this world was the things that he held dear. Those were the things that was grabbing his attention. And you know, as you go through this life, you have to kind of recalibrate yourself. What's important? What is important? What is important in this life? These things will all pass away. You know what I'm saying? All the possessions that he had will pass away. He will no longer be young at a certain time. He may not be rich at a certain time. All those things are temporal, right? Somebody else will come, you're no longer the ruler. You know what I'm saying? Somebody else will come, you know, you're no longer rich. You're no longer young. You're going to get older, right? You know what I'm saying? Only what's done for Christ is going to last. That's the one thing that he was lacking. He was lacking his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage us that these things in the world that we hold dear are temporal. They can go in the next minute. But Christ is the one thing that you lack if you hold these things dear. Let's go to another one in Luke chapter 10, in verse 38. And it says, Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him to her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. And this one is one thing that is needed. So, as Christians, we could get caught up with service. You know what I'm saying? We could get caught up with, this is what I'm doing, and this is my service, and we forget who we're serving. And this is what happened, is that she had got caught up with the things that she was doing, and her attention was divided. She was no longer looking at, okay, I'm serving the Lord. She was looking at others and saying, well, she's not doing what I'm doing, right? And the Lord had to chide her and say, one thing is needed, is that she has chosen the good part. And what's the good part here? Is that in order to be in service for the Lord, we have to be in his presence, right? It's not, you know, I always look at what, you know, the scriptures say is always worship or presence before service, right? You can't not, first of all, if you don't do it, this is going to be your attitude, right? Your attitude is going to be, well, this is presumptuous of her, right? You know, it says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me, right? She's now directing the Lord to tell her to direct somebody else. I mean, this is like presumptuous, right? You know what I'm saying? But this is the attitude we could have, right? If we take our eyes off the Lord, if we're not in his presence, right? Our service now becomes something that is even a burden to us, right? Is no longer serving the Lord. It becomes a distraction in a way, right? And so it's for us to go before the Lord and sit at his feet. Sit at his feet. Learn his nature. Learn his character. You know what I'm saying? And he will give us energy to do the work, to service. He will give us energy to, he will give us the right heart to serve other people, right? But he chided her and said, you know, you're troubled and worry about many things. You're troubled and worry about many things. And that's what happens when you don't sit at the Lord's feet, is that we become troubled and worried about many things. We start to look at other people. We start to, you know, our focus is not on the Lord. Our service is to the Lord first and then to others. But how is that outflowed? Is by sitting at his feet. And this is what the Lord said himself. This one thing is needed. And so I want to encourage us, is that our service should be out of love. The Lord is the key to all our life and our service. He's essential to our service, but we shouldn't lose sight of who's the main focus. Because as in 1 Corinthians 13, it says that we would come like tinkling cymbals and sounding brass, right? When we start to, our service starts to become, you could tell, because like people could tell, like you don't care about them, right? You're just doing it because this is my service. We don't want to be like that. We want to be those who are sitting at the Lord, and outflowing of our love for the Lord, we want to serve others and be encouraged by others. So that's the one thing that's needed. Let's be at the Lord's feet. Let's be encouraged by him, and let that be an outflow to others. Another one is in Psalms 27. All right, verse 4. Well, we'll read verse 3 for connection. And though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing I have desired. And the desire here is, when you have a desire, is that it's an action kind of thing. When you desire something, usually you go after it, or you try to go after it, right? And so this should be our heart, our purpose of heart, as it were, that we should desire to go after the Lord. We should desire to be in his presence, to dwell in his presence, and to have our focus. And what's the attraction here is to behold the beauty of the Lord. What is this beauty of the Lord? I believe the beauty of the Lord here is his character, right? Is that as we spend time with him, what attracts us is his character, the way he lived, the way he treated people, the way he you know, his perfect life. You know what I'm saying? His life was so great that his father had to open up heaven and to say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He couldn't contain himself any longer. He had to say, this is my, he wanted everybody to know. And this is, as we look at the Lord and we're attracted to his beauty, we see his life and the things that he's done, is that, you know, when you look at the Lord and the life that he lived, you have to be amazed, right? Imagine somebody going through to areas where people hated him and they weren't quiet about it, right? They didn't like him. Even in the scriptures we just read, they said in Luke, they said, who is this fellow? That was like a derogatory term. Like they're like, who's this guy? Like, you know, who's they didn't like him, but he still went about doing good. He still healed the sick. He still went about doing good. He still preached to them. He still tried to do everything he tried to do to reach them. And he did no sin. He knew no sin. No sin was found in him. And that's the beauty of the Lord that attracts us to him, is that he did all this and he still went to the cross to die for all those people. And not only that, the thief on the cross. Like, if somebody was berating me, was, you know, insulting me and doing all these things, I would have said, well, you know, well, later for you, right? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. That's, to me, the ultimate forgiveness, the ultimate love, the ultimate, like, I can see, like, if you give somebody a time, right, and say, well, you get over something, somebody made you feel that way, you know, maybe after a couple months, you know, maybe you could come back together. But you're talking about in the same moment, right, the same hours when you're on the cross, the person berates you and said all these things, and then they said, well, you know what, I changed my mind, you are truly God, and they were able to accept that he died for that person on the cross. Just as he died for all those Sadducees, all those Pharisees, all those people who were against him, he died for all those people. And we can be attracted by his death. We could be attracted by his life, the life that he lived, you know, feeding those who were hungry. He looked upon them and had compassion upon them. This is the beauty that attracts us. And the thing is that when we spend time with him and we dwell in that house of the Lord, it changes our demeanor. It changes the way we act. And this is what should be our desire. Our desire should be always in the presence of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Our desire should always be when, you know, I try to be, whenever the meeting's open, I try to be here. Because it's just to be in the presence, to soak up something about the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be a conference, right? To be encouraged, a camp, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? I want to soak up everything, right? Because the Lord means so much to me, and that should be our desire. Our desire should be always to be in his presence. And I'm not talking just publicly either, in the meeting or camps or whatever, but even in our homes or our private devotions, whatever it may be, is that we should desire to be in the presence of the Lord. And I'm telling you, it's a lasting effect. This should be our purpose of heart. And this is what he's saying. He said, I have desired. This word desire is a strong thing, as a strong word. It's not just meaning like, oh, well, you sit back like somebody, like, you know, the Bible talks about the slothful person. They desire something and they don't do any action, and so they don't have, right? We don't want to be like that. We want to be like those who have a desire and we go after it fully with our whole hearts, our purpose of heart. So one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that I will seek. Let's seek after the Lord. That should be our one thing that we should desire. The last one is in Philippians chapter 3. And this one is very dear, because you're always focused on a lot of things in life, whether it be, you know, family, career, this, that. You're always going to be focused on many things. And the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us to refocus our minds and refocus our attention. And it says in verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. One thing I do. And this here is the singleness of mind, the single goal. I know we have a lot of goals in life, and I'd be lying to you if I don't have goals myself, right? We all have goals, right? You have goals, you want to attain those goals, you want to work towards those goals, but we can't lose the focus of the real goal in our life, right? Because all those other goals, the goalpost really moves with those goals, right? And the world will have you on that rat wheel chasing those goals. But the Apostle Paul is saying, having singleness of mind, the secret of doing one thing, minding one thing, having a focus on one thing, and Christ is that goal. Christ should be our goal. Christ should be our focus. Is that don't lose focus on what's important, right? And I'm not saying other things are important. Family is important. Careers are important. Those things are important. But they are not more important than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's telling us to kind of like reframe your mind or bring your mind back to that purpose, right? And he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching towards those things which are ahead. And there's another thing I want to talk about, forgetting those things which are behind. Sometimes we let our goals or the thing that we're focusing on, we let the things from behind hinder us from going towards our goals. What do I mean by that? You messed up. You did something wrong. Maybe you did something that nobody else knows and you messed up and it's hampering your attention. It's the devil is using that to bring you down. Forget it. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord's feet. You know, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You abandon that. You go to him. You ask him for help. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. Go to him. Ask him for help. But after we ask him for help, forget those things which are behind and reach towards those things which are ahead. Which is ahead is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we let those things drag us. We're trying to drag everything we've done with us. And you can't do it. You have to let it go. Yes, you messed up. Yes, you did the thing that you're ashamed of back then. Yes, you did. But that's the enemy tries to keep you in that state to have you focus on those things and not focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to encourage us is that, look, I've done things I'm not proud of, right? We've all done things that we're not proud of. But let's not let those things keep us from that one thing I do. Our single mind, our focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. So it's not just going forward, but it's also upward, right? And so that's another thing that we're posed. Where are we looking? And we talked about that previously, is that it's not only moving forward, but it's also looking up, right? And so I think we should be on those two movements. As we move forward, our forward movement should be looking up. On what we're looking up at? The Lord Jesus Christ, that man in glory, the one who has gone on before us, that one who has been victorious. And I think if we have that purpose as Christ is our goal, we should not be like those who are earthly minded, right? Who mind earthly things, who focus on earthly things. And that's where the world is dragging us. The world is dragging us. They want us to look at the things that are behind, the things that we let go, the things of the world, the things that are dragging us, our sin, our shame, all the things that the Lord has brought us out of this world and all these things. He wants to drag us back. And the Apostle Paul is saying to look forward, you know, to go forth, you know what I'm saying? Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's our focus. And so as we look at all these one things, it all has one main thread throughout it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know what? You are lacking one thing. You know what I'm saying? You could be the most perfect person. You could live a life that, you know what? That people may look and say, wow, that person is really a good person. That person, wow, he helps ladies across the streets. He gives all his money to this. He does all these things. But if there's no reality behind it, just like the rich young ruler, it doesn't mean anything. You're still lacking one thing. If you have service and you're doing service for the Lord, well, I shouldn't say service for the Lord, but if you're doing service and it's not for the Lord, you're lacking one thing, right? If you're living a life where you're looking at everything around you and God and the Lord is not your goal, you're lacking one thing. There's one thing I do. So all these things, it should be, and I got to speak to myself first. This was a wake-up call to me. The Lord brought this to me and saying that you're focusing on a lot of things. One thing. One thing is important. And I want to encourage us that we should continue to look at that one thing, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. For his name's sake, amen. Amen.